Steve Shalom, Reish Nun Gimel. I believe we're on the right column if I have the place marked correctly. So the Steve Shalom was giving us the direction, how a person can transform their inclination to their natural inclination to evil, to be inclined to good. And he said that there is a natural way and a supernatural way to do so. The natural way to do so, he said, he brought the Rambam, was to when a person identifies a certain bad trait within themselves, that the person should go to the other extreme.
Why are we given bad inclination to begin with?
What?
Why are we given bad inclination to begin with?
It's in order that we should be able to work on ourselves.
In order to
be able to transform it.
Otherwise you just be a moloch and have no challenge.
So that's a natural way of doing it, going to the other extreme. For example, somebody who is arrogant, somebody should go to the other extreme and act extremely humble. That will help the person develop a sense of humility. So the same applies to all of the other middos as well. Ach yesh derech al tivis, but there is a supernatural way to do so. To be able to uproot the evil root and to be able to transform it to something that is essentially good. And that is by instilling the light of the neshama into the darkness of the body. Because as we've learned numerous times, a little bit of light pushes away much darkness. When a person is able to see the light of Kedusha, evil becomes repulsive by him, to the point that the person can't tolerate it anymore. As the Balagdomas says, the Agdomas that we say on Shavuos, it says, "B'meisei l'inahoida," that when light will come to us, "V'sachfei l'chayin bahasa," the side of evil will be covered with shame. That's what I talked about on Shabbos. When there's a clarity, when the sun comes out of its sheath. That is when the evil will be covered with shame. When a person is able to grasp the light, the person is able to realize the darkness of the desires and the pleasures of this world. So basically, I think the supernatural seems to be a lot easier than the natural way.
I haven't heard yet how to do it.
Well, he said to instill that light, which would be by focusing on switch. It would be by focusing on the. Taking the time to focus on our emunah, through Torah learning, through just by purging oneself with light instead of focusing on the dark.
Bathing oneself in light. You wouldn't be purging yourself with light, you'd be bathing in it.
No, bathing is not the right word.
Immersing.
Purging.
Immersing.
Huh? Mm. It's instilling. It's infusing. Infusing oneself.
Infusing.
Purging, I think it's good.
Purging is to get out.
Yeah, purging is to get rid of it, right. Purging yourself of the darkness by
right. by infusing light.
Purging out light.
So is he going to discuss how to go about this?
He might.
Okay. Step one.
But if not, just play around with the wires.
Do you let people wear Bears jerseys in the shul like this? You know?
Yeah, what's this shul coming to?
Umrimazim. Beis drachim elu. Both of these paths are alluded to in the dream of Yaakov Avinu. It says in the pasuk, there was a ladder standing on the ground, with its head reaching the heavens. And behold, Hashem was standing over him. The ladder represents the order of elevation, the order of spiritual elevation, level after level. While Derech Sulam HaGashmi, just like a physical ladder, Mitchila Mutzav Arza, first it begins on the ground, until it reaches the heavens. Ach Yesh Oid Bechina. But there is another, that's the normal way of going about it. Take step after step, starting on the ground, reaching the heavens. But there's another concept. That is Hashem standing over the person, above all levels. Meaning, when a person connects to Hashem, and he's able to realize the light of Hashem, the person then reigns over all parts of one's physicality, one's desires, and one's wants, and over all portions of evil that a person has from his youth. He is transformed into essential goodness. So basically what he's saying is that there's the two ways of getting out of the darkness. One is feeling your way out of the darkness. The person can't see properly, but at least they know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So feeling your way out of darkness is how you reach the end of the tunnel. And the other one is just turning on the light, which is
that seems like a well duh moment.
Right.
Yeah. Find the light switch.
Yeah, you got to find the light. Finding the light switch is the main.
Opening up a safer.
Let's see if he explains. Chazal said, the world stands upon three things: on Torah and Avoda, and on Gemilas Chasadim, on loving kindness. Just like the world in general stands upon these three. So also the world of each and every individual also stands on these three pillars. Those are the three ingredients that transform a person from their evil inclination to be inclined to good. These three pillars, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, they are the ones that bring the person to the ultimate spiritual perfection. Those will only bring the person to ultimate spiritual perfection if they become part of the person's being. The person is one with the Torah, the Avodah, and the acts of kindness. And he goes on to explain. Torah needs to be part and parcel of the person, something that cannot be separated from one's existence. As if the person is married to it. As the other Marishan said about Chava, a bone of one of my bones and flesh of my flesh. The concept of they are my life. It is my life. It's not something that I just do from time to time. It can't be just, you know, when the conditions are appropriate, my mind and heart are open, and then I'll learn. But when I don't feel like it, then I'm separated from the Torah. Because that's not the way it works. That's not the Torah that's going to transform a person. As Chazal say, someone who has relations with a prostitute lacks heart. Say Chazal is the alim of Torah the Brachim. That's somebody who learns Torah from time to time. Meaning, he's conducting himself with the Torah as if it's a prostitute. There's no marriage, there's no connection. Like whenever I have a desire, that guy will go learn Torah. That's Chazal refer to that as if one is noyevisha. So also the that is what the Torah.
But learning Torah is a whole thing. Learning Torah is not. So I don't know if it's a comparison.
I don't know. Maybe he's equating.
Huh?
You're using the Torah like for your benefit. What you're doing?
You're using the Torah for your desire,
right.
As opposed to treating it like your wife, which is hayat.
But the only thing is
that having relations with your wife is also a holy thing.
But the only thing is learning. I mean, learning Torah, even if you do it, it's still you're learning Torah.
Right.
But even if you do it for your shloi lishma, bal lishma, you know, it's. So I think it's different. There's, I don't know, just. Not a perfect example, I think.
No, he's trying to explain the words of Chazal that do make the comparison. So
you can end up marrying her.
Huh?
You can end up marrying her.
Right, so also this person's learning is just from time to time. Whenever the person feels a desire to connect to Torah, that's when the person does so. I mean, he's using the Torah for his own...
I think most people learn don't do it because they do it for the, we do it because that's what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it enough. We know we should do it more. We should be creative and we should do more. But when we do connect, we are connecting for the right. I think for most people that we're doing it because we want to learn some story. That's why we're doing it now. Just because we don't do it once a week,
right,
doesn't mean or whatever.
When he says the program, I don't think he means if a person has. You're not talking about a time, but if a person has a set time to learn Torah, whether it's once a day or once a week or whatever it is, that's not the program. The program means I'll learn whenever conditions are appropriate and whenever I feel like it. That's the program. The Torah needs to be with the person all the days of one's life. It's something a person needs to be preoccupied with day and night. And day and night means in dark times and in light times. Meaning when the person feels the light of godliness, and when the person doesn't feel it. As if it's part of the person that is inseparable from the person their entire life. And just like there is the advantage, just like there's the advantage of light over darkness, so also is the advantage of the person who Torah is part of their essence in all situations over the person who the Torah is by them just who uses the Torah to their convenience. Shaykhin is Zerak B'Torah Kedosh. And this is only applicable by the Torah. B'chol Sha'ar Chochmas, by any other type of wisdom, in a Chochma Etzem Ha'adam, the wisdom that a person learns does not become part of the person. Right? Whether it's medicine or law or whatever it is, any type of wisdom doesn't become part of the person. It's something that is exterior to the person. It's something that the person knows. It's something that the person practices as a parnasa. It's not part of the person as the Torah should be. But by Torah, Chazal say, "Divrei Torah nevloim b'dam." The words of Torah become absorbed in a person's blood. Meaning, in a spiritual sense, the Torah becomes the life of the person. The Torah transforms into part of the person himself. Ben Torah, right? As we call a person who learns Torah, we call him a Ben Torah. Chedik Belti Nifrad, as if he is part of the Torah, something that is inseparable from the Torah.
Is that really true, though? I feel like people that do delve into other chokhmos or whatever, it can become part of them. Very much can become part of them. To the point where they leave Torah, or they, you know.
Right. That's
a lot of you see it all the time. Jews that get involved in medicine or in, you know, biology.
Because Torah isn't part of them. Not because that wisdom is part of them. Torah isn't part of them. And they'll definitely do things. Yesterday, I witnessed a doctor taking cream of a cake, just the cream, and eating it. He obviously, his medicine is not part of his being.
Yeah.
Right? He wouldn't have eaten that cream. He knows how dangerous it is. Right? And lawyers don't necessarily practice everything that they know either. It's not
really.
It's not part of what they know doesn't become part of their life.
Well, that's certainly true. Also, some people who learned.
Oh, for sure, for sure. That's what he's saying. But you can't call that their life. That Torah is their life.
So the problem here is giving some examples of people at other professions who it doesn't become part of their life. Well, okay, so you'd also find that amongst Torah, right, but you may also find amongst, say, a businessman who thinks all the time about his business and how to make deals or whatever a businessman is doing, that can become a part of his life. So you've got businessmen who, okay, it's a parnasa, and you've got others who are completely absorbed by it. Just like in people who learn Torah, you've got some who are completely absorbed like he's talking about, and others that, okay.
Right. So what he's saying is that what is demanded of a person regarding Torah is that it becomes part of his life, part of his blood flow, which is something that is not demanded of the person in any other area.
Okay, but people...
A person should not allow anything else to become part of their life.
That's a different thing. He was saying, I thought, maybe not, that it can't become, in a businessman, that can't become... Well, yes, it sure can. He's not saying that. He's saying it shouldn't become, while Torah should
not, become. No, I don't think it can become. Because business doesn't...
On your mind.
It's not that. It doesn't mandate. It doesn't address every part of a person's life.
Okay.
It doesn't...
It may take over every part of his
life. Right, it might take you over. Yeah, but that's, right. But it's not... It doesn't teach you how to live your life.
The Torah, I think, covers all aspects of life.
Right.
That's what I think he's talking about.
There's a word that I'm missing. The Torah...
From birth to death. I think Torah covers every dimension of the person's life.
So what we're saying then is you can be involved in Torah while you're eating breakfast.
The Torah dictates every moment of a person's life.
Right, while you're eating breakfast or while you're doing any mundane thing in addition to davening. Right. Whereas in business, well, of course you could be thinking about your deal. But you're thinking about the deal that you're doing. You're not thinking about your cereal.
No, but there's certain things that teach someone a system, like the law system or the medical system. It's a system how to think. It's a system how to think.
Or philosophy.
It's not
philosophy,
going to dictate. Yeah. It's not going to dictate every mm-hmm. moment of a person's life.
It's not going to tell you what shoe to tie first.
Right.
And then Amelis, I suggested it. Right? Like business.
Yep.
But you can certainly become obsessed by these other things.
Oh, for sure.
Many people do.
That is right. That's a problem. Same applies to avodah, to service of Hashem. Hakol avodah sakavonis v'atfilah, which includes the avodah of karbonis and davening, she avodah shabalei, which is service of the heart. For the chesiv, as it says in the pasuk, shivchi kamayim libeich mechach pnei Hashem, pour out your heart like water opposite the face of Hashem. So even though due to our many sins the service of the Beis HaMikdash has been stopped, nevertheless the concept of sacrifice in this world is when a Jew sacrifices to Hashem that the person desires most. But tanugai hagoda, the person's greatest pleasure. By yitzahara boyaboy, that the yitzahara burns within him, k'may esh, as a fire, lamala tevalsai, to fulfill one's desire. Uhum makriv chelba v'damer l'Hashem, and the person sacrifices that to do the will of Hashem instead.
How does that take up the place of a carbon? I mean, a carbon, did that, I mean, you brought a carbon, was that giving up your tithes?
No. This probably is worth more than that.
It's giving up
right, it sounds like it's worth more.
Yeah.
But we did a carbon, I mean, you just paid money, you brought a
sacrifice. Right, but it was a whole process to the Kayan help the person understand what this was all about, and what it means, what it represents. Even in areas that are not forbidden, the person sanctifies himself, and not to fulfill their full desire, in order to bring a nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Again, it is Hashem's will that we shall not become connected to physicality. So the more a person refrains from fulfilling their desires, the more they are connecting to Hashem. And even, this is addressing Peretz's concern, even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, this was the main part of the carbon. As the Slana Rebbe is said on the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon Hashem. The pasuk says at the beginning of Vayikra, a person that will bring of themselves a carbon to Hashem. Ima Adam makriv mikem, if a person is able to a sacrifice of himself, me'atzmachem, from themselves, meaning ma'adov Hashem asavayilav, from that the person desires most. Zehu karbon Hashem. That is a sacrifice to Hashem.
What kind of carbon does it represent? Which one? Or does it really matter?
No, that's the main carbon. Then, then everything else is...
I guess what Avram did was the biggest carbon. He sacrificed his son that he loved the most, Yitzchak. And yep. That was unbelievable.
But that, I think that was the example for all kabbanas to come. That means self-sacrifice. That's what it means. The pasuk continues, but when you're just offering the animal, the cattle, the sheep, zunak b'chinas karban chem. That's your own carbon. Lebchinas karban Hashem. That's not a carbon to Hashem. Carbon to Hashem is when a person sacrifices himself. A carbon kazen ne'emar. On a carbon such as this, it is said, right, it says in the pasuk, the sacrifice that goes upon the fire that is on the mizbeach the entire night until the morning. And the fire on the mizbeach burns in it. It says and explains in the Siva Shalom. Night is the time that the physicality is aroused within the person. It is therefore that at night the fire of desire overcomes the person more. As it is alluded to in the words of Chazal, it says in Chazal explained the different the night is split up into three parts, three mishmaris. During the first mishmar, the donkey what's the word?
Braise.
Braise. Mm-hmm. Donkey braise. Meaning
sounds like a donkey dolphins.
Right. No.
So the could be that's what he's doing. But the chamor is also the same word used for physicality. The same word used for donkey is used for physicality. So chamor and noyer instead of braids can mean awaken. Meaning chumrius mesareres, the physicality is awakened. It is only through the holy fire ashetukin on the mizbeach that burns on the mizbeach. The hainu, the mizbeach means al libay shalad, that means the heart of man. Esh hakodesh azoyis he esh oichal. This holy fire is a consuming fire. Esh oichelas esh atavet is the fire that can consume the fire of desire. Al amudu avoda azu oimid kol oilam. It is on this pillar of avoda that the world stands. Menasa etzam shal kedusha. It is through this type of avodah that the person can become a essence of kedusha.
As he explained the horse and the other two animals.
I love them. The other one is the dogs.
Yeah.
Klum Tzayakim. The other one is Zishma Separez and Baila. Huh? The other two mishmaris, he doesn't go into them. One of them is the second mishmar, the dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dog is barking. And
that's in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night. Uh-huh. And the third one is the you hear a wife speak to her husband. Your spouse is talking to each other.
In the pre-dawn.
Right.
Earlier on.
Whatever the hell they all are. The Gemara goes into great length of what these means, what the purpose is. Whatever. So that was Karbanis. So also the davening shleitia atfila b'mchinas mikra. That and this is I guess something we have to aspire to. That davening shouldn't be something that is just by happenstance. Meaning shadapam mispal b'shvichas alev l'Hashem be'ezli b'pesuch leit. That sometimes I'll daven by pouring out my heart to Hashem whenever my heart is open. Rather, the person should be, their whole essence is prayer. Tzaddikim say, "Shekol kuli tefillah." Right, my entire being is one prayer. My essence, my heart, my flesh, is all a prayer to the living God. This type of tefillah, where the person becomes, is transformed into a prayer to Hashem, he amud neman, is a that is a strong pillar, upon it, which upon it the world stands. So Beis Bechinas Avoda Elu, and these two types of Avoda, which is self-sacrifice and becoming one essence of prayer, Tluim Zabezeh, are dependent on one another. The Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, if I remember you on my bed, then I will think about you in the morning. Meaning, if when I lay on bed at night, at the time when usually the desire overcomes a person, then the person is able still to remember Hashem. The person is able to sacrifice their greatest desires to Hashem. The person is able to sanctify their desires and wants for Hashem's honor. Then the person is able to think about Hashem in the morning. In the morning, during their davening, with Davik Hashem, the person is connected to Hashem. This is just a general rule in the service of Hashem. Because there are types of, there are people that serve Hashem whenever they feel like it. Their avoda is dependent on how they feel and how their mood is. When they feel an illumination of the heart and the mind, and when the person's emotions are awake, that's when he serves Hashem. In the time of darkness, when he feels that his heart and mind are clogged, and his mood has fallen. Be careful. And then the person falls from all of their levels. This type of avoda that is dependent on a person's mood is like a blowing wind. Meaning, it's obviously by definition not consistent. It's only somebody whose avoda is as a loyal servant. In darkness, just like in light. Like a slave who works during the day and during the night. Tamid b'yigia, always with toil. Yehudi kazeh, it is this type of Jew that avodasa in avoteila loylam, that their avoda is never interrupted.
Okay.